So thank you very much for inviting me to this beautiful and smart city, Bologna. I already enjoy being here. It's really wonderful. And thank you for sharing or inviting me to sharing my thoughts on community-centered design for active aging. As an interaction designer working in the area of aging and co-design approaches, this has been at the core of my research for the past 6 to 7 years. And my talk today will be looking into European perspectives, but will also relate to my own work on community building in the aging area. Community building in the age of active aging is very much about giving and taking. In Denmark, part of the official elderly policy is based on the idea that welfare technology can deliver economical growth. But is welfare technology really the silver bullet? It's easy to understand why welfare technology is seen as a key enabler for meeting the challenge of the aging population. As an application area, such as ambient assisted living, a program that some of you might know, this program is receiving increasing governmental, industry, and research attention, taking advantage of maturing and increasingly ubiquitous wireless, mobile, and sensor-based technologies, including robotics. The European AL joint program, which was started in 2008 with investments in the order of 600 million euros, had the aim of creating better conditions of life for older adults and to strengthen industrial opportunities in Europe through the use of information and communication technology. However, to date, many of these advances have been largely driven by technology utopian visions without real understanding for how such technologies come to be situated in everyday life and healthcare practices, and what their potential is for enhancing new ways of living into older age. I suggest that we start to reflect on the experiences of these technologies and to reimagine new socio-technical and community building perspectives. And the Life 2.0 project, which you are presented to later today at this conference session, is a very good example of this reimagination. I think that the motivation for most of our research in this area is about quality of life for senior citizens, which we will all become very soon. And the recent report from Global Age Watch made it quite clear why we do not want to live our life as seniors in terms of quality of life. In Italy, where we are today, we can see that Italy are listed as number 27 in this list, despite of all this research that we are doing in this area. And in Denmark, where I come from, and where we used to claim that we are so proud of the Scandinavian welfare system and believe that welfare technology is a silver bullet, we are listed as number 17. The same report states that policy to strengthen older people's capabilities needs to encompass much more than education. A high priority is to strengthen their capacity to be self-reliant in new situations, to understand how to cope with new health challenges, to keep physically fit and mentally active, to care for grandchildren and others, and probably in this context, the most important, to make use of community services. So, what I want to demonstrate in my presentation is that our being in the world, our being with other people as part of a community, is the most important aspect of life and has enormous impact on our experience of quality of life. This goes for all, both young and old, and we all want to be engaged in reciprocal relationships of giving and taking. I also want to suggest the concept of what I call situated elderliness to challenge the conception of how we categorize the elderly and to challenge the active aging agenda. And finally, I want to suggest the idea of communities of everyday practice as a methodological approach to working in the area of design or the area of aging. For the past 3 years, I worked in a research project called Senior Interaction Innovation Through Dialogue. In this project, we explored how to establish sustainable networks among seniors for social interaction based on everyday activities. We explored this through two living labs, one in an urban park environment and another one in a senior housing compartment, in which design researchers, senior citizens, industrial partners, and municipality partners participated in co-designing services supporting community building. So to give you an impression of how we worked to establish these local networks for social interaction, I want to play a short video. And now I really hope that this works, because we tried to test it during the setup, but let's see if it still works.
Hvordan ser den gode dag ud, når man er ældre? Måske er det aller vigtigste for et godt ældre liv, det er, at man har en social relation til andre mennesker.
Hvordan er det egentlig, at mennesker de mødes i deres lokalområde? Kunne digital teknologi på en eller anden måde være med til at styrke eller måske skabe nye åbninger og sociale netværk i lokalmiljøet, som måske gør, at belastningen på kommunens service bliver mindre?
Det handler ikke bare om at spare penge. Det handler faktisk om at øge en livskvalitet.
Jeg skal lige se, om jeg mangler i køleskabet her, så vi tager den store rollator med, så vi starter telefonen.
Vi tager simpelthen nogle hverdagsaktiviteter, og så forsøger vi at forstærke den måde, hvorpå de aktiviteter allerede i dag virker som åbninger for social interaktion. Så hvis nu indkøbsturen for eksempel kunne være synlig for et lille netværk af venner, ikke for hele verden, men 5-6 mennesker, som man føler, at man i forvejen deler tilbud for tilbudsavisen med, sådan så er, når jeg stod med i Fakta eksempelvis, kunne hurtigt kunne kommunikere til mine indkøbsvenner, at der var et godt tilbud i Fakta.
Men når han nu står nede i Fakta, kunne han så ikke tage noget andet med hjem? Og så spørger ham om at tage noget... Hvad skal han tage med hjem?
Ja, det kunne være alt muligt.
Hvad kan du forestille dig?
Mælk!
Vi har det her Twitter-redo-koncept. Man bruger teknologien bare ved at gøre noget. Altså for eksempel har vi arbejdet med et petanksæt. Så når nogen griber og ryster det, så er der sådan en bevægelsessensor i, som så viser på den store fællesskærm, altså opslagstavlen, at nu er der nogen, der har taget petanksættet og går udenfor og spiller petang. Nå, jeg tror, jeg smutter ned og spørger, om jeg kan være med. Vi har også sat en sensor på kaffemaskinen i fællesrummet. Og det samme har vi gjort med vaskemaskinen i kælderen. Og så kan man gå ned og holde hinanden med selskab. Vi har arbejdet med 2 living labs, hvor man flytter laboratoriet ud i virkeligheden. Og laboratoriet har... I det ene tilfælde har det været en ældre bebyggelse ude på Akers Vimmersvej, så det har været de ældres hjem, deres lille naboskab. Og det andet living lab, det har været et lokalområde i sådan et byrum, Valbyparken, som et sted, hvor man også udfolder sig og mødes.
Nej, det er det smukt. OK, ikke?
Måske ikke selve teknologierne, der er udfordrende at lave. De skal nok blive lavet, men det er den måde, de bliver bragt i spil og bliver taget imod hos de ældre. Kvinder lige har født et barn, bliver sat i en mødergruppe, og så første gang, der kommer en sundhedsplejerske, som er med, og så bliver de jo ved med at køre de her mødergrupper, hvor møderne selv organiserer, hvordan mødes vi, hvad mødes vi om, med at man faciliterer noget, og så bruger vi teknologien til at holde det ved lige.
Så kan man tjekke ind, og hvis der så er nogle af mine venner, der også er her, så kan de så se, at jeg også er her.
Det er næsten ligesom Facebook, hvor man skal være venner med hinanden.
Vi lavede uddannet nogle superbrugere. Nu har de den her applikation, hvor de selv kan foreslå de her aktiviteter for hinanden, så det lever videre, uden at der behøver at være sådan en kommunal instans ind over og vogte. Der er ingen tvivl om, at det er vigtigt med vasketoiletter, og det er vigtigt med robotstøvsugere osv. Der er mange andre ting, som fylder i ældres liv. Jeg tror, det er det, vi som forskere i det her projekt kan ramme noget andet, end man gør i mange andre ældreforskningsprojekter. Det her med, hvordan kan vi hjælpe med at styrke netværk blandt en gruppe af borgere, i stedet for at give sådan en service til ældre borgere.
So, as you saw in this short video, there was this very important quote from one of the seniors where it was stated that it's nice to know that somebody needs you. And I think this denotes a very fundamental and existential human need, which also in many ways influences the fundamental thinking of the Life 2.0 project, which you're going to hear about later today. So when I look at Life 2.0 in this perspective, I see a lot of parallels. One of the challenges that you address in the Life 2.0 project is, and I got this from your initial project description, can new forms of social support service emerge from the use of those technologies? Can elderly people become providers of some of those services besides being the target of traditional health services? And I think you point to a very, very essential part. Now I need my cursor to see what I'm doing here. Well, sorry. It's just that my cursor will not let me scroll. Okay, always nice with a paper backup when technology struggles. So I think that as I said, you point to a very essential part of being member of society and part of a community with this question. Already more than a century ago, the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard talked about how we are all longing to be part of the crowd. And in an AAL project, I just received funding for this is our main idea behind community building that we'll design for. We all want to give and take. So reciprocity is a very natural part of all social relationships throughout life. And I think there's a huge potential for social innovation among seniors building on this idea of reciprocity. So while some seniors have significant care needs, in general, seniors have knowledge and experience and time and energy to contribute as citizens. It has been argued that a shift from public care services to informal community support and civil engagement are not only empowers seniors, but also prevents dependencies and public finance burdens, not to mention positive impacts on physical and mental health, and bridging the generation gap. And as you all know, we age in very different ways, and you who have been working in the aging areas for years now have also met the difficulties related to trying to understand who the elderly are and what aging implies. So I want to introduce the notion of what I call situated elderliness to challenge the active aging agenda. So the aging agenda is by many seniors considered a one-size-fits-all agenda. But being active means quite different things for different people. For some people, it might be the ability to still do your shopping and banking and cooking, while for the woman suffering from Alzheimer's, it might mean just sitting in her wheelchair in the coffee room for 1 hour listening to other people. It's for her, that's the active aging. So no demographic group represent such a variety as old people do. So this variety in life experience and life situation gives us serious methodological challenges. And I think the first challenge is identifying who are we designing for. In co-design processes, designers and future users are carrying out design activities together. And as designers, we always have an initial idea of who these future users are. But users are never just out there, and especially with the elderly people. So people have to be recruited and mobilized to enact the roles of future users and to take up membership in the group of users, as we call them, that the design project enables. So applying a co-design approach addressing senior citizens creates a number of challenges related to identity, self-image, and stigmatization. So when in a lifespan do people consider themselves elderly, old, or senior citizens? And what does identification with such label entails? One methodological strategy to approach recruitment of senior citizens for co-design while avoiding the risk of reproducing existing norms and stereotypes is introduction of situated elderliness, based on the idea that elderliness is related to everyday practices and situations of feeling old as opposed to being old. And the idea of situated elderliness is inspired by the concept of communities of practice to capture the skills and competences enacted by people engaged in a professional practice. But it's difficult to identify specific practices and contexts that characterize the elderly. So when expanding this concept of communities of practice to include everyday practices outside professional work, it denotes the communities of everyday practice where senior citizens are skillfully enacting everyday practices as seniors. Gradually, as they, or maybe I should say as we, get older, we enact situated elderliness. And it refers to specific practices and situations that involve activities that for some reason has become difficult for us to perform. It could be banking, e-banking, which suddenly we are forced to do, but we used to be able to do our banking quite skillfully, but suddenly we are not able to act skillfully in this, while actually enacting skillfully in a lot of other areas of life. So this leads me to the last methodological point about how we can establish a community-centered approach through living labs and design laboratories. The distinction between design and use is getting blurred in several ways as products and services increasingly are co-created in use. And use and users proliferate and diversify. And this has led to a growing interest in stating what is called design laboratories that both involve future users in co-design and incubate emerging everyday practices of design in use. Very little can be said about novel designs or technologies before we see what users actually make of it. And this is particularly the case in social innovation, as in the Life 2.0 project, and service design, where products seem to act more as an infrastructure for design in use than as a provision of well-defined services. At the same time, envisioning such new designs without being close or in close dialogue with the people who are to appropriate them in their new everyday practices may easily lead to disappointing results. Therefore, living labs and design laboratories should be used as a platform for open-ended exploration of co-creation of services, artifacts, and practices. So I would like to end my short talk today with how I see the Life 2.0 as impacting design of community building among seniors. The Life 2.0 project has been pioneering into the field of community building in the aging area, and I know how difficult this is, and has explored community centers designed for active aging smart services. And the project was built on the hypothesis that technological infrastructure, such as web application, internet-based communication tools, and geographical position tools, can be integrated in meaningful applications. so when I look into, that allow elderly to extend their social life beyond the walls of their home, to increase the possibility to create intersections between their own life and the life of other people, elderly or younger people, around them to create what was called augmented neighborhoods in Life 2.0, in which individual capabilities are exchanged and social interaction is enhanced. In a recent paper about older people's use of social network sites, Life 2.0 project members stated, based on an ethnographical study, that older people's use of place-based, and this is important, I think, place-based online communities can be fostered by adding offline interactions and control. I think that this observation together with your initial question about whether elderly people become providers of social service are probably some of the most important results of Life 2.0. And I really hope that these results will be taken into account in future European research in the field of community building in the aging area. Thank you very much.